Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast.
Come on.
Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I am the host of It's Everything West Texas. And today we are bringing you a very interesting program. In the background, as we enter into the Christmas season, you can hear Silent Night. We are in the studios of KVVO 94.1 FM, Abilene's one and only Black radio station. And today I am going to be talking with Mr. Henry Plant, the founder or the individual that's most responsible for this station. So in just a minute, I'll be coming back and we're going to be talking with Mr. Plant. Today, this program is being brought to you by the West Texas Tribune, Real News, Local News, and WestTexasTribune.org, and Floyd Miller Investments, helping individuals make wise money decisions. For more information, call 325-676-0138. Welcome to the program, Mr. Flint.
Well, thank you for having us, Mr. Floyd.
Well, you know, it's kind of like you having me today. I'm actually in your studio, and it's a blessing to be here, Henry. It really is. First of all, I want to just extend my sympathy on behalf of me and my family.
I appreciate that.
To you and your family, the loss of your brother.
Thank you.
And I guess, Henry, first of all, I'd like for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then maybe we're going to talk about the radio station and few things like that.
Well, there ain't much to tell, so I'm going to say. Where you want to start from? I'm born and raised in Columbus, Georgia. I went to Spencer High School in Columbus, Georgia, during that time that we lived in the Jim Crow South system. And I went to jail for playing basketball on the white school ground. I was eighth grade. I came on off leave in 71. I went to jail for watching a fire. So
went to jail for what?
Watching a fire.
Did you start the fire?
I was watching the fire.
Oh, okay, right. I mean, I just want to be clear on it.
Well, what happened was that I was a firefighter. Uh-huh. And they had been riding. When I seen the firefighters, they missed the hydrant, and they hand-jacked the hose back to the hydrant. So, not being a firefighter, I knew that. So, I started laughing. Mm-hmm. And so, when all the police officers got up there, I said, I want that boy in the red shirt. That's what boy you talking about. Well, they threw me in the paddy wagon, my brother and late brother, Homer Flint. He said, what are you arresting my brother for? They kicked him in the butt and said, you come or go to a nigga.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we came up, that was just standard. That's why I don't get too involved in all this racist stuff. They people had no idea what racism is. We lived it. Every day of our life, we lived it. And that's where it was. You accepted that, that was it.
Wow. So how did you get to Abilene, Texas?
United States Air Force.
Okay.
And I came up in 1973, I believe, from way up Big Spring. I was stationed out in Big Spring.
Oh, okay.
I came up here. And I relisted up here. And that's how I got here.
Oh, okay. Well, I got here about, a year before you. I came in at 72, so.
Well, I down in Big Spring in 72. when I went to court and all, and I told the judge what happened. And then they asked me if I had the proof. And I said, they're downstairs. And they didn't call him up, so I told my mom that I'm going to Texas because I was going to throw some firebombs to you. I was that kind of radical. I wasn't slave then, didn't know about no Jesus. And I came to Texas because I was going to throw five bombs in Columbus, Georgia.
Well, maybe it's probably a good thing that you left.
I knew it.
Yeah.
God has hand on me. Even before I knew Jesus, he had his hand on me. It was just remarkable what God had done.
So after how long were you in the Air Force?
8 years.
8 years. So after you got out of the Air Force, what did you do?
Well, I kind of bombed around and I started working for a John Turtle service. And then I had desires to have my own company. And that's what got started, Henry Service Incorporated.
And what all did you do? I do remember back in the day, I mean, Henry Flint, Henry Services was a big name out here. I think you were doing some things that other African-Americans was not doing in that space. I think you had some contract with Dyes.
Dyes Grand Fort, Eldon Air Force Base in Houston, Texas. At Dyes, we had seven different contracts. It was John Terry Service, Postal Service, Transit Alert, which actually took care of the airplanes. When the space shuttle was flying and they landed in Florida, and this Dyes was the refueling stop. They had arrested, flew them back to 747.
Right.
And it was our job to land him and launch him back out. That's what we did. 10 years, that's what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we also did commissaire chef stocking and a lifeguard service. Anything I think I can bid on and do, we did. Lord bless, we had seven different contracts at one time.
So you must have been pretty sharp with a pencil to get all those contracts.
No, it was a God, man. It was a God thing. It's just that I researched. I asked questions, a lot of questions. And Mr. Bloom and Captain Bloom told me that as long as you got people know what they're doing, you can bid the contract. And I found out and I started bidding.
Just kind of talking about that now, I mean, I understand there are millions of dollars worth of contracts out there at Dyes Air Force Base today. So if there was a young man or young woman, I say young, I mean, the old man or the old woman, I guess, but if they wanted to do contracting with the base, what would you recommend? What would be some of the things that they would? I know it's been a while since you.
Yeah, well, what I've done, really, you can't. It cannot be duplicated today because, like, they have put in so much restriction and requirements on people. They really don't believe in a little bit anymore. It's everything that it's who you know. That's just the truth. See, well, they asked me, how could I bid so cheap? Well, I was a working contractor. I didn't bid and just go home. I bid and I went to work. All my contracts, I worked. I was involved in every contract. I've had seven contracts. I was involved in every one of them. I was hands on.
So you weren't sitting in an ivory tower somewhere?
No. My first major, when I got Dyes commissary contract, I slept in my truck because I didn't know what to do and I would lose so much money. But all I knew that if I'm getting out, if I'm what, $48,000 a month, man, I got to figure out how to keep some of this money. So I learned the job. I learned the job. I lived on the job. I watched everything they done.
So if I'm hearing you right, you got these contracts. And then you did a lot of on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm. I had people to do the job, but I had to find out how the job worked. Once I found out how the job worked, then I can work a lot more efficiently. You can tell me something now, but, 5 months from now, if not true, I'm going to know about it, and then we're going to change it. My whole thing, we're going to work smarter, not harder.
So, what do you think that desire came from to be an entrepreneur?
Well, when I worked for as a firefighter, GS4, working civil service, the guy paid me $1,000 a month to run a contract, to run it. Not to work it, just run it. That's pretty good inspiration right there, brother.
Uh-huh. So, you done well, it's
He gave me $1,000 just to run it. What does he make it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you would say it probably got it difficult to do those same kind of contracts because of restrictions and.
Well, what they have done, they really, I think they begin to block people out. You got people, me personally, they got what you call the postal service contract. That I didn't make no money on that. I paid myself. I think that about $2,500 a month. I got the $3,000 a month top price. Well, when they turned over to what you call a 8-8 contract. Now they call it another name. I forgot the other name they call it. They give it to the specialty people. 8-8, love it up there. They'll find a contractor, and when they took me out of the post office and gave it to the handicapped people. I forgot what you called handicapped. So they were spending $7,000 a month. The job I was doing $3,000 a month for. I was doing it by myself, and most of the time I just sit there and slept.
Wow.
Now they're paying over $7,000 a month for that contract, and probably more than that.
Well.
So they don't understand me. Why could I work so cheap? Well, Ms. Mark, if I got 6 contracts and I make $2,000 a month off your contract, man, that's a lot of money to me.
Right.
A lot of money. I had my name on the contract. That was my philosophy.
So instead of making $12,000 a month per contract, if you could combine all of those.
Yes, sir.
And make $12,000, you thought that was pretty good living.
It's outstanding, I thought.
Yeah.
So, and all of it was signing contracts.
Well, tell me a little bit about faith. I know you're a man of faith. Like, matter of fact, that's what your cap says today. But I know, I know for years I've seen you wearing a cap or something that kind of expresses
Jesus.
Yeah, express Jesus. And you said that definitely wasn't the case when you were down in Columbus, Georgia.
I wasn't saved then.
Burn that place
down. So, I didn't know nothing about Jesus then. I was just like anybody else.
So what happened along the way?
I got saved. Once I got saved, then everything changes for me.
Was it what turned you in that direction? I mean, why?
Well, a guy named Lindsey Paul. You might know Lindsey Paul. Simon Paul, head of fish market.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking one day to something. I said, you need to be saved. Simon, I was friend. I said, man, God told me to be saved. You need to be saved. You do need to be saved. And man, that was it. I had nowhere to run. Martha and Vandell, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Oh, okay.
The hounds of heaven's on my case.
Wow.
Yeah. The hounds of heaven's on my case.
Well, tell me a little bit about the radio station. How did you get into?
Well, I paid myself $35,000 a month in my heyday. I couldn't buy a station. Couldn't buy one. I got broke. Oh, in a while, God gave me one. I got a phone call one day. We had took a contract up to a good fella, and we grabbed 1,000 miles a week to go to work. My wife and I. And that was tough. And they called me and said, Pastor, how do you like that radio station? That's the way it came out. They called me, set the meet up. I sent Crystal to the meeting. And we competed two colleges were competing with for the station.
Two colleges?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So?
Well, first of all, Crystal had seen me. Okay. Crystal had seen me on the radio in the spirit. I was having a good time. She's seen it in the spirit before I got it. Before we got the radio station. I was having a good time. When it came up, we got chosen and we went from there.
And what do you feel like this station brings to the community?
I don't know what it brings to the community. I can't say that. But you can just read this. This will keep me going. You can read aloud. You want to, brother?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to.
That's what one of the inmates.
Okay. This is Mr. Flint just handed me something that one of the inmates wrote, and I'm going to read this, And maybe this tells part of the story why this station needs to be here. It says, doing more with less is better than the rest. 94.1 Black Gospel. Some people don't have a lot, and yet still they are blessed. They use what they have, and they do more with that less. You don't have to have a lot. You've been faithful with the less. Your faithfulness with the less has caused you to pass the test. So by you using all you have, you do more, which is no longer less. That is why the Lord have blessed 94.1 to be better than all the rest. 3 years anniversary, October 2019, October 2022, a low power station doing more with less. Says thank you, Pastor Henry Flint, Pastor Crystal Key, and Sister Jennifer. And I guess that would be Sister Jennifer Langford, right?
Amen. That's what keeps me going. And these guys wrote me, took four cards this year to thank me when I went out, the Lord blessed me and go out to the prison, and God really moved me in the spirit up there. And it took them four cards to send me there, but I wanted to sign the card. That's what keeps me going, Mr. Miller. French Robson.
Well, that's wonderful. And that's, I mean, it's great music. When I'm in the car riding around, most of the time I'm on 94.1. It's very good. Now, I know that you've had a lot of challenges yourself within the last few years. I think COVID visited you like it's visited a lot of other people, but you're still here standing. I know you're on dialysis, and I've heard you talk about that a little bit. And so would you talk about that to our audience, kind of what that's...
I'm always running my mouth about things, and I said I would never live just living on a machine. That's what I said. Like I told Pastor King, my daughter here, when I first got the station, I told her I'm going to play this junk. I referring to the prophecy as junk, and she was crying, and she's daddy. God told me not to play prophecy, playing podcast too. So I'm playing prophecy and podcast now. I said in 2019 I wasn't going to do that when I got the station, but God changed everything. So. Who am I to say that when God tried to heal me with dialysis, who am I to say different? I had to do a lot of repenting, had to do a lot of soul searching about things that I ran my mouth about, didn't talk to God about. And so because I'm on dialysis, I get a chance to meet people I never was met nowhere in my life before, the nurses and all, and the fellowship I have with people out there. I don't like the dialysis role. My brother, Homer Flint, was on dialysis many, many years. If I can get him out of the grave, I apologize to him. I said, man, you need to get off that couch. But on days of dialysis, I come in, man, I can't even come to the station. I just come on and crash. I went to dialysis yesterday on Thanksgiving, came on and kind of crashed. So it's been a journey on a lot of reasons. When I was had a COVID, I told God to come get me. I wanted to die. And I was mad with God. And I threw the towel, and he threw it back at me. So I had some of her good friend call me every day and just kind of chewed me out. As she finished, I hang the phone up. I told him I'm ready to go home. I don't want to come on. I want to go home. I don't want to deal with this no more. But God knows best. It's some old news. Father knows best. God knows best.
Yeah.
And I think all the things I would have missed if God would listen to me, I wouldn't even see my grandson get baptized in church. Yeah, I wouldn't have seen the progress, the things he got accomplished. I wouldn't have seen. And I wouldn't have seen my brother there. He wouldn't have got a chance to move in with me. He made his life better toward the end because he's agreed to move in with my family. A lot of things I wouldn't have seen. So, and whatever God decided to do, like I said, I'm believing God's still going to heal me. I believe in healing. I believe next year things will be a lot different. But if it don't be, then it's still well. Still well. I appreciate the family. God gave me a message a long time ago. And the message was, it's not biological, it's bloodlogic. These two dogs I got left here, they're not biological, they're bloodlogic. They're through the blood of Jesus. God gave me the message to preach. He gave me two great daughters, the biological. They're not bond, they're bloodlogical. They're the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. They make me look good all the time. Even when I'm looking bad. they prop me up.
I tell you that that grandson, Sebastian.
Oh, yeah, Sebastian, they're king, yeah.
I mean, he's stepping up. He's one of the young scholars for the newspaper.
Amen.
And I'm just thrilled with him and the other young people that
Amen. See, one of the thing is that all my life that what God allowed me to do, it just been, I come to the radio station after 4 years, I still can't believe that we have this. I come like, I just tear up sometimes. I can see angels in the station with me. That's why I talk to the angels. I know they're here. This thing is so anointed in here. It is so powerful. It's just unreal. The information sometimes I get, I put my headphones on. How this thing just shows up music and all. I can hear things. I can detect things in the name of Jesus.
What is it that the radio station needs, or do you have a vision for the future of it?
Well, I really have a vision of the future, but I tell you what God has said through this child here. God said, out of this station will be born another station.
Out of this station will be born
another station. Yeah.
All right.
That's what God said.
All right.
I just said what God said, and I said, I can leave it alone. Down in Georgia, we just leave it alone. But God said that, settles it.
Well, yeah.
But I said it, and it didn't matter. He said it. I believe it.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, well, let me ask you, we kind of getting close to the end of our interview. Is there anything you want to say that we have not talked about?
All I can say, I'm just thankful to God to so much. What God take a little poor boy from Columbus, Georgia, and the thing he allowed me to do been unreal. It really have been unreal. I mean, whether it be fire protection. I got to get this in here. We went to Columbus here one day on the way to Georgia, something, not Georgia, somewhere we're going, and buy some supplies. And God brought some things back to my memory. In 1971, when I stationed, Webb Base, Big Spring, Texas. Big Spring, Texas. And I was a firefighter, and I had my big throw out of there, arrogant. I really wasn't very stupid. And some of the firefighters flew in helicopters. Well, when they flew in helicopters, they came over the station when the runway closed, and they got a chance to go home. I said, well, why I can't go home? why they can't grab my truck? And they said, well, yeah. So they let them, most time they went home. So I got mad, and I said, so when the runway closed, fuck, son, I was off duty. In my thinking, I'm grabbing the big crack trail, 7 hours gathering water and all this stuff, runway closed, why am I here? And so I should go home. At midnight, I called my wife at the time, Jack Flint. Jack cook some chicken, I'd be home. I go home at midnight, and I come back at 5 in the morning. Now, that's AWOL. How stupid it is. Well, one day, I heard the voice of God. I wouldn't say I cursed worse than myself. I heard, do not go home tonight. I didn't go home. So by 2 o'clock in the morning, Chief Bauer kicked my bed and I cursed my eye, ready to whoop him. That's how stupid I was. He said, Sergeant Flint, you got off base fire, out of town. This show, let's go now. Think about that. Because I listened to the voice of God, this radio station here. If I want to pay attention, I've been kicked out of the Air Force, been AWOL. I listened to the voice of God. I heard a clear voice, do not go home tonight. 2 o'clock in the morning, the chief kicked my bed.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty good wow. He reminded me of things like that. I was in basic training, and stupid stuff you do as you're young. And my the dorm chief guy, he's in charge of it. He gave me a hard time. I said, he's a big boy. He's a man. He's a boy. When we get that basic training, I'm going to whoop your butt. I'm going to get you. Well, when we got through basic training, I grabbed my bag, and I chased him all the way to the commander's office, cursing and kicking him. They put me in jail. They should have kicked me out of the Air Force, but God had his hand on me. Can you imagine that? Because of God. He had his hand on me. They put me in jail for 30 days. I stayed in CSIS for 2 weeks, and that's all I needed, 2 weeks.
Yeah, some need to change.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So that's why I know God has his hands on people. I mean, if you pay attention, you get, everybody gets signs. You don't care what direction you're going, he'll stomp you if you like. See, I always say this, that Pastor King that talk about all the time now, that God said, my DNA is every human being. I don't care the worst human being in the world, the worst murderer in the world, God's DNA is in it. And his DNA was in me. And one day, the DNA got activated. Got activated, I paid attention.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you paid attention.
I am too.
Glad you paid attention. It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.